He took a small scope from his pocket to see exactly what the men were doing. Yes, they were doubling up blast cord over the far crater edge, and then another one of them was doing the same thing on the near crater edge. They needed no advice. The drills were screaming through the rock, steam shooting up from their overheated water coolant jets. 20 men were rigging a line from the lake water to a mine pump. They were getting more cooling water. Ow, the silt! It was hard to walk without sliding, and nearly all the crews by now were caked with mud. He looked at his watch. It would be very touch and go. To drill 100 feet of hole in 3 hours would be a bit of a feat. They had to do it in about 1.5. They were really leaning on those drills. 4 men on each were adding their weight to the handles. He sure hoped that flashing signal on the small gray man's ship really would hold good. They had skeletonized their defense force to handle this dam, and they were wide open to attack with no cable armor. His mine radio came alive. It was the party at the wreck calling Dwight. They were ready to fire. Dwight looked over to Johnny. With his scope, Johnny tried to see the generator intake ports in the dam. Were they closed? Muddy, muddy water. He couldn't see from here. He called the Chinese engineers inside the dam. Chief Chong Wan was in there.
It needs 5 minutes to close the last port.
The chief's voice came back.
They've got the excess spillway ports closed. I am sorry, Lord Johnny. I don't think these levers and wheels have been moved for years.
Make it 1,000. How many men have you gotten there?
72,
said the chief. Good Lord, he had half his force inside that dam.
You're doing great. Finish it up and then get everyone out of there. That dam could go, the whole thing, with these blasts.
We'll hurry.
There was a roar, and Stormalong took up slack on the defense cable. He was using his plane's bullhorns.
Ready to rip!
He yelled.
Tell me when everyone is clear!
The big marine attack plane was hanging in the air at the dam end. Grapnels had the cable, and it was loose from the junction box. Men were scrambling away there. Johnny yelled to the men on the portapacks.
Stand clear!
Unwilling to leave their drills, they nevertheless shut them off and went slipping and sliding away from the cliff edge. Johnny checked it. They were in the clear all along what must be the cable path.
Let her rip!
He yelled into his mine radio. In the plane, Stormalong poured it on. The cable, like a gigantic snake, jerking and resisting, began to come out of the ground. It was stalling the plane. Stormalong began to dance the huge ship up and down, yanking at the cable. Foot by foot and yard by yard, it worked free of the ground. The plane rose higher and higher, working along the cliff edge. He had almost half of it out of the ground. There was a ripping pop. The cable parted. Stormalong's ship catapulted toward the sky, trailing 200 yards of cable. He checked the rise. That Stormalong could fly. He took the broken piece up the lake and laid it on the shore. He triggered his quick release and dropped it. Stormalong came back overhead. Someone in the plane was lowering the grapnels.
Hook me up!
Yelled Stormalong through the bullhorn above. Men went slithering down to the cliff edge. They caught the grapnel and got it securely fastened to the torn cable end. It could be patched. But all this was taking time, and the drill crews weren't drilling. They got it fastened again, and once more Stormalong was pulling the remaining length from the bed in which it had rested for centuries. He got it free of the blast area and dropped it. The men raced back to their drills.
We're all finished here,
came Chief Chong Wan's voice on the mine radio.
Excellent! Now clear every man out of there and tell me when they're gone, including you!
He could see them streaming out of the powerhouse and up the far roadway, tiny figures in blue work clothes. At last, they were safely away from the dam.
All clear, Lord Johnny,
said Chief Chong Wan.